I think my favorite thing about this podcast is just being able to hear all the different perspectives from the different women entrepreneurs that I get to interview. And I think growing up, when I looked at the world of business, I kind of saw it pretty linear. And I was like, oh, there's just one way to do things, one size fits all. But being in this world now for seven years and counting, there is no one size fits all for being a business owner. Like, every single woman that I've interviewed on the show has a different perspective on what works. And so, I mean, for sure, like, there are certain things that are pretty linear when growing a business, starting a business, but just being able to hear different perspectives, I think that's the huge thing for me, is that it doesn't matter who you talk to, you can always learn something from somebody. And so today's episode is no different than that concept of just being able to hear from a woman who's had a different path, because we all have different paths, and her perception and perspective on business and marketing, and just how she just stays so positive. And so I'm really excited for today's episode, and I just wanted to begin with that, because that's the coolest thing about being a business owner, is getting to meet so many people with different walks of life and who've had different experiences of business and just where they started and where they're at now. And so this woman is no different. She is an incredible, incredible entrepreneur, and I am proud to call her a friend. And so I hope you love today's episode. I hope you love her perspective on marketing and just on life too. Because like I said, there is something we can learn from every single person that we encounter, and today's no different. So that's my spill on this intro. But anyways, we're going to go ahead and dive into the episode, because it's got a lot of good stuff, a lot of good parts, and I'm excited for you to hear the conversation. So welcome back to another episode of the Worth Woman Podcast. All right, welcome back to another episode of the Worth Women Podcast. Today, we are talking all things marketing with one of my good friends, Kelsey Stewart. She is the owner of 1189 Marketing and Design, and I am so excited about this conversation, because marketing obviously is something that it doesn't matter what business you're in, you need it. You need to know the details, how to do it properly. So Kelsey, thank you so much for your time today.
Of course. I'm so happy to be here, and I hope that we can drop some marketing knowledge on your listeners and hopefully help anybody who needs it by doing this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the first question that I always like to dive in first into is, how did you get started into marketing? And tell us a little bit about like your background and then getting your business off the ground.
Sure. It's actually a very long story, so I will keep it short for you, or shorter for you guys. I started in graphic design. I thought that's where my heart lived. I thought I wanted to be the designer of all the things, all the logos, everything like that. Started working in that field. And I just discovered that it wasn't the actual creation of the designs that inspired me. It was creating those strategies behind what, once we created those graphics, what are we going to do with them? Or why do we want the graphic to look like this? Who are we trying to, you know, attract with that graphic? That's the stuff that drives me, not the actual, you know, sitting there and drawing out and sketching out the design. So what I did is decided to go back to school and get my master's degree in marketing. And it's amazing how whenever you go to grad school, like undergrad is, you have to have these core classes, and there's all these classes that you don't even care about. And you're like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? But I noticed with my master's degree, everything had to do with marketing, every single class. And I actually enjoyed doing the homework and doing the projects and all, like, it didn't seem like going to school or that I had to do it. So I knew I was in the right place. I knew that I was doing something that I really enjoyed. And so once even before I graduated with my master's, I started doing marketing out in the business world. So I kind of pivoted a little bit, just a little bit. You know, design will always be within a marketing plan of some sort. So I like to say that I have the creative mind of a designer, but the analytical mind of a marketer all rolled into one. So that's where it started. And that's where I am now.
I love that. And out of all the conversations that we've had, I did not realize that our stories were so similar in that aspect, because I went to college for, you know, studio art. And so at the graphic design and all that, and then I fell in love with the marketing side of it. And so when it comes to let's take listeners, because obviously marketing goes back to, you know, absolute square one from a business. So talk to listeners who are either thinking about starting a business or are just struggling with the marketing aspect of marketing their service or their product. Like, actually, that sounds like two questions. So let's start with one. So, like, getting started with your own business, like, talk to us a little bit about the experience that you had, you know, knowing that, like, hey, okay, I found what I like to do, which is graphic design, but I love marketing. So, like, how can I make a business out of that? So pivoting, like you said, walk us through the experience that you have getting started in that and just knowing that, like, hey, it's okay that I like this one thing and love another, and it's okay to pivot and just start from there.
Yeah. So I grew up with two parents that were entrepreneurs, and I didn't realize until probably 5 years ago how big of an impact that had on me. They both worked out of the house, and so I got to see it day in and day out, you know, how they made decisions, how it affected our lives, you know, things that they were able to do because they were entrepreneurs that they maybe couldn't do if they had to go to work 9 to 5 type thing. And I think it really set up my mindset to look at things in a different way than just a regular employee. So what I noticed was going to all of my jobs and I've had several, that, you know, business decisions were made. It may not necessarily affect my role, but per se, but just like looking at different decisions that were made, I would question it, which some people that are employees are just like, whatever, that's what they want to do. Or they'll complain about it with their coworkers and just move on. But me, I was just like, why? It really affected me more than it should have. And so that's when I started realizing probably 5 years ago that there's a reason that you have these answers, that you have these solutions that the normal person doesn't. And so my journey through my career has not been easy. I've had a lot of crappy jobs, a lot of crappy bosses, not getting paid what I'm worth, being looked at differently because I am a woman, acting like I don't know what I'm talking about. And because I was young, also people are like, you don't know what you're talking about because you haven't been in the industry for 20 plus years like I have. Just those sort of things. And so really what I was like, you know what, maybe my parents had it right. Maybe it is time for me to just do my own thing and figure it out from there. Cause at least that way I have control over the decisions that are made. If I make those decisions and turn out bad, that's on me. And I have to stand behind it. So I think, when it comes to becoming an entrepreneur, you do need to, you know, people make it look easy. They're like, oh, you know, you can work when you want. You can go and work remotely from here, on vacation, check email every once in a while. And I think the biggest thing that people need to realize is that, yes, it may look glamorous on the outside and all that stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. And I think something with social media that's happening now is people are seeing the behind the scenes. And that is one of my favorite things that's happening in the world right now, is that people are really showing their quote unquote ugly side. So that people know what they're signing up for. I think in 2020, a lot of us were like, hey, I'm working from home, or I'm at home, I don't have anything to do, let's start a side hustle. And then work started coming back and they were like, oh,
right.
So I think the biggest takeaway that I've taken from, you know, I watched my parents do it and I was like, oh, they're doing fine. You know, they're great. They're loving what they're doing. But when didn't see is when after I went to bed, my parents staying up all night working on their stuff, you know, just so they could be present during the day with my sister and I. I didn't realize that at night they weren't sleeping because that's whenever they had to do the work. So that's something that I'm in my entrepreneurial journey. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. Okay, so many questions. Well, No, I love it. And I love the longer answers because I mean, one, it just gives a true insight into what entrepreneurship is. And you're right, it is so glamorized on social media and the movies and TV shows. It's just like you create your own schedule. And you just had this glamorous life. And yes, is it hard? Oh my God, of course, but it's so worth it. No, like you're saying, like social media is bringing out the side of, no, this is actually what it's like. This is like all the times that we've stayed up crying and doubting ourselves and, you know, wondering how we're going to meet or like how we're going to pay expenses and how we're going to keep this business, how we're going to pay ourselves. Like so many of us have gone with like so long without even paying ourselves or making money. And it's just believing in what we're doing that keeps us going. And that is what people don't talk about enough is those kind of moments. So I love the long answer because I think listeners need to hear that more often. Mm-hmm. And also just to know that it's normal. Like I feel like so many like emotions and experiences that we have being a business owner, we feel so alone. And I'm like, girl, like you're not alone at all. Like, we've all gone through these things. And so I want to, you know, just like bring light to that too. But the one thing I love about you, Kelsey, and this is the, like from the first like meeting that I had with you is that you are just such a, like a ray of sunshine and positivity, no matter what, like no matter what you're going through, no matter what you have on your plate. And so talk to listeners about just keeping that positive mindset. Cause like the things that we just talked about, entrepreneurship is hard. And you are such a great example of keeping up on like just the conversations we have and the mindset that you have around things. I'm just like, dang, that's amazing that she is already having this mindset because that's going to take you miles and miles and past other people that are going to end up quitting because they let these things get to them. So talk to me about how you keep that positive mindset and what you do on the days that are really hard to keep you going.
Sure. I think it's good to note my journey. I think I had a lot of self-doubt. I still do. I still am like, is this like, who am I to be out here trying to like be own a business? Who am I to do this on my own? And I think it took a lot of, cause I've always been a confident person in the fact that like I, of my personality, not necessarily my business skills or my, I don't know, my marketing skills or my graphic design skills. I think my confidence always was within, I'm a good person. Like I like who I am. I'm fun to be around type thing.
Right.
But I think after I graduated college, the first time there was so much self-doubt that creeped in because there were no jobs out there. And it took me about a year after college to actually get my quote unquote first big girl job. And that it's one of those times whenever I look back and, you know, right now or now we talk about mental health all the time. Like it's out there. People are acknowledging it. And I love that. But it was one of those times I look back and I was like, wow, I was really depressed, but I didn't realize it back then. I didn't realize that that was a thing. I thought I was just being, you know, sad, like, oh, I'm just going to hang out on the couch today because I don't have any interviews, you know, things like
right.
that. But
yeah.
So I think going through that actually, you know, I look at things and I'm like, you know, you are making a little bit of money. You do have a great family. You know, there's all these things to be thankful for. And I think one of the things whenever you and I have our meetings and we start it with gratitude, you ask me, you know, what am I grateful for? And that's really a way that I stay positive is like, oh, this, I want to complain. I've been known to be a complainer. So I do complain. However, what I've tried to do is shift that mindset to, okay, this is going wrong today, but what went well today? Even if it was, I had a great lunch, you know, even if it's just like something so small as, oh, I transferred the laundry from the washer to the dryer without it starting to smell bad. Like,
amen. Girl, that's a win in itself.
So I think one of the biggest things is we just have to celebrate these little wins, because some of those days are going to be so hard. And some of those days, it's just, it's incredible that you got out of the bed and moved to the couch. Like, there are days like those, and we're all going to go through those. But I think the mindset change is, it doesn't have to be a big win for it to be considered a win. We all are at different levels of our career. We're all at different levels of our adulthood. We're all at different levels of being a parent. We're all at different levels of being a wife or a friend, or, you know, we all have these different levels of where we are in our lives, and we compare ourselves so much to people. And that's another thing. Don't do that. I did that so much whenever I was out of college, and I was just like, oh, well, this person got the same degree as me and they're getting this job, and why am I not, you know? And your stuff is going to happen when it's supposed to happen. Of course, you need to work for it, but don't, like, I don't know, people just, it's, you can't compare yourself to everybody else's journey. And I think that's something that it's preached and people say, like, oh, you just can't compare yourself. Don't compare yourself. But actually doing that and not comparing yourself, being happy for that person instead of being like jealous of them, is a big mindset that a lot of us need to have. And so I think those two things, just being grateful for things, celebrating those small wins, and then also just being happy for people, you know, just, you can have a little jealousy, you know, we can be like, oh, I wish I was, you know, one of those TikTokers that's making $1 million a year and all I had to do was show up on video. But what you don't know is that's their entire life. Their phone has to be in their hand every hour of the day. Do you really want that? I don't want that. So everybody's got their struggles, but we should all just celebrate each other and love each other. And yeah. I'll step down from my soapbox.
No, I think that's such a great perspective. And I love what you said about it, like, every win is a win, and it doesn't matter how big or small it is. And I think that's what we often forget, because, I mean, so much of our lives and who we are revolve around social media. And I think it's crazy that being at this age, we saw it evolve into what it is now. But we think we have to have these giant wins in order to be quote unquote successful or to have a good day. And you're so right. Like, if we are so focused on what's going wrong, we're going to see 20 million things that are going wrong. But if we focus on what's going right, we're going to see 20 million things that are going right. And like you said, like, we were woken up this morning. Some people weren't. Some people did not get to live to see another day. Some people do not even have a car to drive. They don't have a house to live in. Like, they're people that are dealing with and battling things that you can't even see. And so I just think that, like, even they don't have to be gigantic wins. It's like you said, like, it could be a really good lunch. Like, this is the thing that I've kind of discovered too. So I love you said this, but it's like when, I don't even know how to explain it. It's like when you're like, there's just, this is going to sound so silly, but like, you're making eggs in the morning. Sometimes they come out really good. Sometimes you're just like, yeah, that was okay. But when you get those like Waffle House consistency eggs, I remember it happened the other morning and I was like, this is going to be a great freaking day, because my eggs turned out like Waffle House. And so it's just like the little wins. And so, like, you start looking at life like that, and I can just see that radiating through you. So I hope listeners, like, as you're listening to this episode, like, take note and like look around you of like what's going right, because you're going to find so many things that you used to pray for that you have now, or, you know, like, some things that are going right, or like, it might be as simple as your eggs just turn out perfectly in the morning, and that's okay. So
another big thing is your support system. I am very lucky to have several friends that support me in my business. My family supports me. My dog is here by my side every day. So I call him project manager. I think the people we surround ourselves with also has a huge impact on, you know, your attitude and the way that you see things. You know, if the people around you don't support what you're doing, then I think it's time to find new people to surround yourself with. And I know that's like cold-hearted to say that a little bit. However, the people you surround yourself with, they're going to represent who you are. So if your friends or your family is out there and people are looking for somebody that does XYZ, whatever it is that you do, and they don't say, oh, hey, my best friend or my sister or whoever does that, you should get in contact with them. You need to find somebody else to support you. we just need that support system, somebody that you can go to and complain about things that are going wrong, someone that you can go to and share the wins with, and they will do a little happy dance with you. You need somebody that you can just talk about ideas with, and they can give you honest feedback. That's the other thing. Like, you don't need somebody in your corner that's just going to be a yes person. Like, oh, that's great. That's great. That's great. Well, you do have great ideas. They're not all going to be winners. So I think having that honest person, even if it's more than one, or just that one person that you know, like, oh, if I take this idea to Sam, she is going to tell me yes or no. So I know that I can trust her opinion, or whoever your person is. I think it's good to have those types of people in your corner, because if you don't, then it's going to be a long road.
Absolutely. And I don't think that's cold-hearted to say at all. I think it's just the honest truth. And like the older we get, and the more that like the world becomes, the more that more entrepreneurs are coming out and starting their own businesses, like, it's getting, I mean, I hate to use the word competitive, but it is a sense of the word of, you know, we do have a more competition out there. And so if you want to be the best of the best and you want to keep improving yourself and your business, like, you have to truly look at the people that are surrounding you. And if some people don't make the cut, that's okay. Like, we're not sitting here saying, like, go text them right now and say, you know what, you're off the team, like, exit stage left, like, see you later, thanks for your time. Like, you can still have people in your life in a very small capacity. Or there are just some times where you have to just part ways. I've had to do that in the last year. And I'm telling you, my life has significantly gotten better. And so I don't think it's heartless to say it all. I think it's just part of growing up and realizing that not everyone deserves a place in, not everyone deserves to know everything you're doing, and not everyone deserves a place in your life if they can't meet you where you're at and help you get to the next level in your life. And so I don't think it's cold-hearted to say it all, honestly.
I like how you talk about different levels of how people are in your life. So you can have those people that do support you or want to give you advice or love on you or whatever. And those are the people that you talk to about your business. Those are the people that you can go to for anything. But then you can still keep those other friends or family members around. You just, you know, maybe you guys go and get coffee and don't talk about work, or, you know, they can be your person to talk about your personal life with. I like that you said that you got rid of some people, because I used to be such a doormat and just let my quote unquote friends walk all over me and just, it was, looking back, I'm just like, oof, girl, you needed to just cut them loose. And so it is like a breath of fresh air once you do let those people go, or you just, you know, you don't talk to them about your business, and they can just, they can watch you from the sidelines, and that's okay. Like, I think, you know, people have considered me a people pleaser, and I do kind of take that title a little bit, but I think there's a fine line between people pleaser and doormat, as I mentioned before, where you can just say, hey, you know, if they want to ask how your business is going, just say, oh, it's going well. I'm excited for this happening this week. And that can be it. You guys can talk about other stuff.
Right.
So yeah, there are levels to it. It doesn't have to just like, hey, you're out.
Right. Yeah. And I feel like a lot of people look at it as like, kind of like you don't have to be mean about it either. Like, you, like, I always preach, like, have people's like intentions at heart. Like, always do your best by people. Like, do your absolute best to communicate with them, to say what's like on your heart, but also come about it in the right way. And, you know, like we both have said in the last couple of minutes, like, it's just okay sometimes that some people aren't in your life anymore. They're there for a season, and that's okay. That's just part of life. And they have fulfilled their purpose and what they needed to, like, and maybe vice versa. And now it's time to, you know, fill that space with someone else that is more,
you know, more ready to take you on in this next version of yourself. And so I love the way you said that. But okay, let's talk some marketing strategy, because I can talk about this stuff all day, but you're like my marketing girl. So let's talk about some strategy and how you help your own clients reach their marketing goals and just getting out in front of their ideal client. So talk to us first about what is one or two things that you see as a marketing expert that your clients struggle with? And this can be on social media. This can be just in their marketing strategy. Talk to us a little bit about those struggles, and then also how like your solution for them for their problem.
Sure. Well, there's so many to choose from, but I would say the top two are probably the most important part, which the first one is they are creating these marketing efforts, or they're posting on social media, or they're doing sending out emails or whatever, but there's no rhyme or reason behind why they are doing what they are doing. They're mm-hmm. like, I know I need to do this, so I'm just going to do it. And the issue with that is you're not going to know if you're producing the results that you are trying to work towards mm-hmm. because you don't have a strategy in place. And so it's my number one rule. If you're going, anything you're going to do with marketing, you need to have a strategy behind it. Whether even if it's just one simple social media post, there has to be a reason why you are posting that. And it could be, it could simply be, oh, that sound is trending, so I want to hop on that trend. Mm-hmm. There you go. That's a strategy behind it. It doesn't have to be this whole, you know, for 3 months, I want to do this, 6 months, I want to do this. Well, that's important. If it's for just a simple social media post, or I say simple, but no social media post is simple ever.
Right.
I would say that's the number one, is there needs to be a reason behind each marketing effort that you do. I don't care what platform it's on. I don't care what type of marketing it is. You need to have a reason to do that you are doing it. You need to know how long you're going to keep doing that effort. And you need to know what your goals are what results you want to see, so that you can measure them at the end of that time frame and be like, okay, this was a flop. This was very successful. It was kind of in the middle. So then you take it and tweak it, learning that information. So that's probably the number two thing, is that people are not looking at the results from that marketing effort that they are doing. And you're not going to be able to grow or learn if you are not looking at the analytics, looking at the KPIs. If you're not looking at the return on investment, then you're just throwing money or throwing time out there and not seeing what really works for you. And that's something that I really stand on, is that every single business does not need to do every single form of marketing. You need to find what works for your business, and you need to become strong in it. You need to really just like dial in on it, and it's just going to be better for you in the long run if you find those three or four marketing avenues that work for you, and then just go hard on. You don't need to show up on every social media platform. You don't need to. If email is not where your target market is, then just cut out email. If you're looking for people that are speakers, obviously go to those conferences, find those speakers. You know, there's so many different ways that you can find people these days and find your audience, but you need to look at those results in those analytics, see what's working and what's not, so that you're not wasting money, you're not wasting time, and you're just being a better marketer for your business.
Yeah. Well, what's if someone listening right now is like, okay, this kind of sounds like me. I'm kind of just throwing things up, trying everything, you know, some things stick, some things don't. Like, what kind of advice would you give them as far as like next steps that they need to take to start nailing down a more, I don't want to say concrete plan, but a more clear vision on what it is they need to do next, instead of just feel like they're throwing spaghetti noodles at the wall and hoping one sticks?
Sure. I would take it slow at first with this strategy thing, because it can be a little overwhelming at first. Mm-hmm. And so start with the product or service that you really want to focus on in the next 30 days. Figure out what that is. And then from there, figure out who is buying that. And you can look at that from your purchase history. You can look at that from the people that are following you on social media. You can look at it from people that are emailing you or questioning you. Or not questioning you. They're emailing you or asking you questions.
Right.
And so just gathering that target market to see, okay, these are the people that are purchasing that product or service that I want to push over the next 30 days. Mm-hmm. And then figure out where those people are. Are they checking email multiple times a day? Are they on social media multiple times a day? Are they only on Instagram and not on Facebook? You know, that's another thing that people need to decide is, do I need to be on every social media platform, or can I just do like three and mm-hmm. leave the rest for other people to be on? Mm-hmm. So those would be the first three steps. And then once you've figured out all of that, I would figure out what works on each of those platforms that you're going to use. So if you're going to send emails, you know, whenever you get a marketed email, what does it look like? You know, what are the ones that you enjoy looking at, or the ones, what do they look like whenever you just delete them? Mm-hmm. And kind of compare and contrast those, and then model your email after that. Mm-hmm. If you're going to do social media, Look, of course, stick within your branding. I have to put that out there because I know you'll appreciate that too. Stick to your branding. But go into the social media thinking like, okay, I want to stop the scroll. I want to promote this product or service. And I want to explain to the target market I've decided on what, you know, why they need it. What problem am I solving for them? Mm-hmm. So a really long answer, but first of all, you are discovering, or you're deciding which product or service. And mm-hmm. if you have the bandwidth to do multiple products or services in this platform, you know, in this strategy realm, then go right ahead. I was just trying to start off easy for everybody. So pick a product or service, and then figure out who you're targeting, how you're targeting them, and then go ahead and start putting the content out there. So those would be your next four steps, if that did sound like you.
Yeah, no, I love that. Well, let's talk to me a little bit about someone who is trying to figure out, because I feel like this happens a lot of time, is like who they're selling to. And that's a big one where people get lost, because I feel like either sometimes our niche is too broad, or our niche is too narrow, or we're just, throwing things out there and hoping that something sticks, or it's inconsistent and you're like just posting about 20 million different things and no one can really figure out who you're trying to sell to. So what would you tell someone that is just trying to hone in on their target audience, their ideal client? How do you figure that out?
So like I just said, you need to look into who is actually ordering your product or service. So you can go through your order history and look at that. You need to look at on social media, if that's, you know, a place that you are, you know, if you're doing a lot of marketing on social media, then you can go into those analytics and see, you know, it breaks it down, male, female, where they're located, you know, what age they are. Sometimes it'll even show you what their interests are. So that's a great place to look as well. And so those would be two of the biggest places I would look just look at what's happening now. Also, if you have a product and it's something that you know is specific to a certain age group or a certain profession or something like that, of course, that's who you're going to target. I think really honing in on what your target market likes to do, their interests and their hobbies, is another one that a lot of people don't think about. So for instance, I do marketing for small businesses. And so what does that small business owner like to do whenever they're not working? Do they like to go golfing? Do they like to go to the gym? Do they like to just go to the wine bar. You know, think about the different places that you're going to find them and write all of them down. That's another thing, is you need to write all of these down so that you have it and it's not just ideas that are popping in your head. I know you and I have talked about using our notes app whenever we're out and ideas pop in our head, just typing them down. Or if you're like me, you're also when you got to have that pen and paper notebook that I always have.
Love it.
So just make sure that you're notating this. You know, it can be, you'll get a flood of different of orders, or you'll just learn all these things about that person. Mm-hmm. And so that would be where I would start, is figure out what their hobbies and their interests are, what their age group is, and where they are at. Like, where do they live? Are they the kind of person who is just sitting on the couch streaming their shows at night, or are they out and about with friends every night? Or, you know, are they married? Are they not married? Do they have children? Do they have a fur baby? You know, you can figure out all this stuff, and it's really scary that you can do that as a marketer. It's awesome that we can look into things like that. However, it is very scary that they know all this information about us. So, you know, if your target market's on Facebook, you can get on and you can get inside Facebook groups that those people are in, and really, and even if you aren't in there selling, I know a lot of Facebook groups are like, oh, you can't sell in here. You can still get a feel for what they like to do, what they're looking for, stuff like that. So I think just really honing in on the research of who that person is. And in marketing, we call them an avatar, you know. Figuring out, okay, so we've got Kelsey, she's in her 30s, she's female, she's married, she loves to drink wine. Okay, this is where we're going to find her. So really just, you can even name your avatar, like I just said. You can name her Kelsey or whatever you want to name her. So I think actually making that target market an actual person or two people, whatever, you know, if you've got different, you might have two people that you're targeting to, and of course you would target to them differently if they're completely different. But I think going in and actually creating that avatar and naming them and writing, okay, this is Susie. Susie likes to do X, Y, Z. And she is always on Instagram, or she's always on TikTok. Oh, she loves a YouTube short though. So we're going to go over there too. And I think once you have all of that insider information, once you have all that insider information, you're going to market better. And you're going to provide them with a service that they may not even know that they need. What do we call it? We would call it Target Market 101 is what we'll call that.
Target. I love it. Target Market. Well, I love how you like talked about like basically narrowing it down to one exact person. Cause I think that's what people get overwhelmed with, is like we say target audience, and audience is just a very broad term on like a whole group of people. And you're like, well, I can't even figure out how to sell to one person. How am I going to figure out how to sell to an audience? And so I love how you said, just create an avatar, name this person, and just think about them as a single individual unit. Get good at that. And then as soon as you do, you can segue that into your audience, and it's not so overwhelming because you've narrowed it down to Susie or Kelsey, whatever you want to name her. And she's buying from you. She's a repeat customer. And so you gotten good at that. So now you know how to market to other Susies and other Kelseys that will bring them into your shop and to buy. So I love the way you said that, because I feel like I said, people get lost in the whole audience concept, and it just becomes a little overwhelming in that aspect. So.
And I think it's important to note that not every one of your products or services is going to go for each of your avatars. So like for me, I have some clients that they want to start showing up on stages and being speakers. And so for them, I'm not doing social media marketing or email marketing. For them, I'm doing PR. So I'm getting their names out there. I'm applying for those speaker positions, you know, so that service applies to that type of avatar. But then I've got other clients who they're an educator, they're trying to get their nonprofit off the ground, things like that. And they know that their parents, the parents that they're trying to target, are on social media a lot in the emails a lot. So mm-hmm. for them, we're doing social media and email. So it's okay to have multiple avatars, but you need to realize, you need to notice, mm-hmm. not notice, you need to, you need to select which product and service aligns with each avatar so mm-hmm. that you are, so that way you're promoting the right thing in the right place to the right person. That's the, all marketing is, you know, finding the right person in the right place and doing it the right way.
So. Yes. I love it. Well, you're so knowledgeable when it comes to just marketing and figuring out, you know, what your clients need, what they're, and just helping them like put a plan in place to get from A to B and getting in front of their target audience and their ideal, mm-hmm. ideal client avatar. Cause I hate the word. I wish target audience would go away. Cause it's just like, it's just like, ugh. So, but anyways, you'll figure out how to get it. Cause I know, I'm sure a lot of people are having questions and just like, okay, this is me. I need help with this. And so we'll get to how to contact you at the end, but let's go ahead and segue into the last two questions that I love to ask listeners just to give you a little more insight about who they are as a business owner. But the first question being, what is the hardest thing that you have overcome and what did it teach you?
I think the one that got me to where I am today is I was still in a graphic designer role in a job in Atlanta, and they promised me, I worked there for almost 4 years, and they continued to promise me after year two that I would get to move into marketing because they were having me create all of these marketing strategies for new clients that were, it was an ad agency is what it was. Mm-hmm. It was like each month when I would have a meeting with my boss, it kept getting overlooked. And so I was just hanging there being the loyal employee that I am, just hoping and praying that this marketing position would come because I knew that was what I wanted to be. I was in school for my master's at this point. So I was like, I'm getting the knowledge. I have the experience with these clients creating these marketing strategies for them. Why not have me be a marketer instead of considered a graphic designer low on the totem pole? Mm. So it was a really hard 2 years for me, really just, you know, why am I doing this? Also looking for other jobs at the same time. I was, my husband and I were, it was my boyfriend at the time, we were long distance. And so it was one of those things like, why am I doing this? Why am I fighting to be in marketing? Why am I, it made me question pretty much, you know, am I doing something wrong to make this person or make this company not want to change my title, not want to increase my pay? It was one of those companies that people had been there for at least 10 to 15 years before I showed up. And it was just, you know, a lot of they get stuff first before you, you get to do anything. But it was a really trying time. Just, you know, am I doing the right thing by going back to school and spending this money to be in marketing whenever the company that I thought supported me doesn't even see it in me? And just trying to decide if I should stay with this company, if I need it, you know. And then it was also like I moved away from my boyfriend to be up here and all I can do is complain. So should I just move back home? And all these things that were happening. But I think what it showed me is that you have to do it yourself. Nobody's going to do it for you. And I hate that about corporate jobs and just even smaller businesses that are like kind of corporate-esque, is that if you come in later, they kind of look at you like, oh, you don't have any experience, or, you know, they look at your resume and they interview you and all this stuff and know that all this knowledge you have. And then they just are like, well, I mean, you've only been here for a year, so you can't do anything more than what you're doing. That's nuts. That's crazy. And so I think what's happening now is people are either creating their own business or they're going to these other companies that actually appreciate their employees. And actually, I think, 2020 was a bad year. We all know that. But looking at the bright side of what came from that is that companies kind of had to say, oh, we need to get our act together or people are just going to leave. Mm-hmm. So my biggest obstacle was learning that just because you are a good employee and you are good at what you do and you show up and do the things you're supposed to do, they're not going to hand you stuff. They're not going to do anything for you. You have to do it yourself. And so that leads to me now doing it for myself, in my own business. So that was probably the biggest turning point for me. And of course, it took me several years after that to really officially make my LLC and all that stuff. But, you know, I've always been a freelancer, you know, working with different companies and being a contractor and things like that. But yeah, that one really stuck with me because that was probably my biggest heartbreak as far as a job goes. So
yeah. I totally understand that too. But I love what you said about you just have to do it yourself. And no one's going to do it for you. And I think that can be applied to a lot of things in life of, you know, we can sit here and complain about it all day. And that was 100% me, like literally same story. Once again, in 2020, I was like, okay, like I can either sit here and keep complaining about this job where I'm not valued, I'm underpaid, same thing, and not taken seriously, or I can just do something about it. Like I already have a business that is growing and I can either get out of my own way and just go for it, or I can keep complaining about it. And that's the thing is, like, we always have a choice and we always are at a two-way street. We're never just at a one-way street where we don't have another option, but the other option is always going to be the hardest option, but we'll always reap the biggest benefits. And so I think I love that you just reiterated that, because I just hope listeners, like, I hope you understand that you always have a choice and it's up to you to go after it, to change your life, or to stay exactly where you're at. And you can just keep complaining about it. And so you always have a choice and it's up to you. No one else can do it for you. No one else can push you out of your comfort zone. No one else can make you show up for yourself every day. It's gotta be you. So I love that you put that into perspective, especially with your experience.
Yeah. And I mean, you're so right. Nobody's going to do it except for you. And you are in control of I mean, it may seem like you're not in control of what happens in your life, but you really are. You know, you take steps you take steps now that could lead to things 3 years from now. And you may not even realize that the step you took today led you to that point 3 years from now. So it's crazy how life works, and life will always throw things at you. So you have to do the hard things. And I think that's another thing that entrepreneurs either know or budding entrepreneurs need to know, is that you can do the hard things. You can do it. It's just, do you want to do it? So that's going to be the difference of whether you are successful or not, is if you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And if you are willing to ebb and flow with the way that the market ebbs and flows. So yeah.
Yeah. Could not agree more. Well, the last question is, what is one thing that you currently do or have done that has led you to your level of success now?
I think, I hate that I keep using the word pivot, but I think being able to pivot is the biggest asset that I have that has brought me to many different points in my life. You know, I'm a big planner. And so I plan for a lot of things. And sometimes people view that as like, oh, she has to stick to her plan. If it doesn't go that way, then she's going to be all up in arms. But that's not the case. I plan things because that's how I want it to turn out. But sometimes the result is better. So I think, you know, like pivoting from graphic design into marketing, pivoting from a corporate job to a small business to now doing my own business. I think just being able to be, what's the word I'm looking for? being flexible in what your life looks like is probably the biggest thing that I've done that has helped me be successful in both my business and in my own life. So yeah, I would say flexibility, pivoting, all those synonyms are the biggest asset that I would suggest everybody tries out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like pivot is such a great word. I feel like everyone should learn like the ability to pivot, because I mean, business, you're going to run into so many obstacles. You're going to run into so many things that didn't go according to plan, and you have to learn to pivot. And so I like that you're using the word pivot a lot of times in this conversation, because that's what it's all about, is pivoting. And you're never going to have, it's never just like a, it's not a smooth, straight path to success. Like, you have to pivot, go on detours, come back to your course, mm-hmm. learn how to just transition through the hard things that you're going to encounter in business. And so I think pivoting is the perfect word. And that's something that I had a very hard lesson, a lesson learned in business is learning to pivot and not getting overwhelmed when things didn't go according to plan or didn't go the way I wanted them to or how I thought they would. And so it's easy mm-hmm. just to get caught up in all of that, but yeah, learn to pivot. But
yeah, it's, you know, when people start working on their target market stuff, they may realize that there may be a couple services that go or products that go along with what they're trying to sell that person also needs. So then you mm-hmm. pivot into creating those, you know, filling those needs for that same person or partnering with a company that makes those products or sells those services, and you guys partner on it and create, you know, a wonderful, beautiful marketing relationship between the two of you. So I think just being open to changes and open to new things are really going to be beneficial to every person that owns a business, but also just in your personal life too. Just being open to trying new things is the best way to live a full life, I would say.
What a great way to end this conversation. Like, literally 10 out of 10. I couldn't have done it better. So, Kelsey, thank you so, so much for your time. Where can listeners find out more about you and what you offer for your clients?
Sure. You can go to my website. It's 1189marketing.com. 11 is actually spelled out. Or you can find me on Instagram or TikTok, 1189MKTG. So the shorthand version of marketing is where you can find me on Instagram and TikTok.
Awesome. Well, I will have her links for both her website and her Instagram in the show notes and to make it easy to find. But Kelsey, once again, thank you so much for your time and your expertise and your knowledge on marketing and just getting into business and overcoming those challenges that we all have as business owners.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I hope that your listeners really learned a thing or two and that, you know, that I hear from some of you, because it's time to get your marketing up and working and working for you so that you don't have to try so hard.
Absolutely. That is the whole goal of marketing, is have it work for you. So anyways, listeners, thank you so, so much for being here for another week. I cannot say how thankful I am for you, but join us back here next week for another brand new episode of the Worth Woman Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Worth Women Podcast. If you found value in this episode, please leave us a rating and review. We appreciate you. Until next time.